The following program is an update of a favorite from the Compassion Radio Archives.
When the Pharaoh of Egypt commanded that every little male infant born to a Hebrew slave family was to be killed, a young mother hid her baby boy in a basket floating on the River Nile. That little baby was subsequently rescued, and he grew up to be Moses, the liberator of Israel. On that same continent of Africa today, little babies need to be rescued and cared for. Today, you'll hear their story.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio.
If someone left a baby on your doorstep, what would you do? Call the authorities? Probably. What if you found out babies were being left to die in the streets of your city and the authorities were powerless to stop it? What would you do then? Hello and welcome to Compassion Radio, where we share the stories of the passionate, creative, and selfless people doing God's work all around the world. Today, Norm shares about his firsthand experience with the Door of Hope Project in Johannesburg, South Africa. Since its inception, Door of Hope has rescued hundreds of babies, and more than half of them are now adopted into loving homes. This is a story with the fingerprints of Jesus all over it. Here's Norm.
Today and tomorrow, we're going to revisit our first reports with Cher about the Door of Hope Project. Here's part one of our two programs called Opening the Door of Hope. Honey, you were in the city of Johannesburg, South Africa, about 15 years ago, and it was a very different place in those days. Just how would you describe Johannesburg then and now?
Well, I think you're talking about downtown Johannesburg, which was a very different experience then. We were staying in a beautiful hotel. We were there on a music mission. We were doing local television in Johannesburg, which was a big deal because it covers the whole of not just South Africa country, but the whole bottom portion of Africa. Downtown shopping was wonderful. South Africa was different than it is now, but in the old apartheid days, downtown was very safe. You could walk around at night, enjoy the shop windows. It was a booming metropolis.
Well, it's done a 180-degree turnaround, hasn't it? Because you would not walk around in Johannesburg at night at all.
Not at all. What was funny was that when we were going, I was trying to describe to you the hotel that we had stayed at in downtown Johannesburg so that we could look it up again, and you couldn't find the name of the hotel anywhere. Well, the reason is because the hotel has completely gone out of business. There's been such white flight from Johannesburg proper that it is totally devoid of actual functioning businesses and has just totally been taken over by the crime element.
You just used, I think, a really important word. I suppose that the word that we heard most often in that city was the word crime. Honey, is there a tangible fear of crime in the places that we visited? Did you feel that fear as we walked around and got acquainted with the city?
Yes and no. I never felt threatened when we were there. And yet, watching what the very reasonable people that we were spending time with had to go through in order to secure themselves, you began to get a real feeling of you need to watch over your shoulder and be aware of your surroundings and be cautious and be thoughtful. And there was not one person that we came in contact with that did not have a personal story of something that had happened. So it wasn't just, ooh, we live in a dangerous place, we have to be so careful. There were real live examples of really sad and frightening things that had happened to the people that we were with. I mean, it's not just being surrounded by walls. Every house is sort of on a compound.
And razor
wire. Right. It wasn't just having to have razor wire. It wasn't just having to have electric gates, but learning how to drive up to your electric gate and be prepared to go on by and not enter your driveway if you see someone rushing up to try to get in at the same time. It's timing things so carefully.
They would not pull into their driveway as the electric gate moved back, because if they were accosted by somebody, then they would have to back out in order to get going forward to make their escape, and that's too late.
Right.
And so, thinking constantly, about the pressure of crime and thinking about your own personal safety has to really be a wearing thing on people who live there.
I think the thing that made the most impact on me was that there was no place to go home.
Yeah.
There was no safe area of the city to go back to. Okay, now we've been downtown, or now mm-hmm. we've been in the dangerous parts. Now let's go home where it's safe. There is no safe.
Yeah, there is no safe. And of course, out and around in the outlying areas, out in the townships, and out in the squatters camp areas, there is there too real danger. In fact, when I made that trip to Koza, which mm-hmm. is one of the townships on the outskirts of town, that was one of the scariest places I've ever been in my life, to be surrounded by big, young black men to keep my skin color hidden from those who were all around us. And of course, this is a very densely populated place with people out in the streets, to be crouching down in the backseat of that car and to be told before we went in there about how gangs come up to your car and fire through the back window, mm-hmm. sending a bullet through your neck or through your back. Well, that's what it was like there in Tokoza and in Johannesburg in general. Honey, we were in Johannesburg, of course, because of the Door of Hope Project. What exactly is the Door of Hope?
Well, it is the most wonderful thing we've experienced in a long time, is what it is. Door of Hope is a rescue project for babies that would otherwise be discarded. There is a small mission church in this area where people said no church could possibly survive because it is the area of Johannesburg proper where so many different nationalities and tribes and peoples have come together hoping for what would be here the great American dream. There is the great African dream of employment. Within this little mission church, there are 16 different countries, tribes, nationalities represented, all with some tribal hatred of each other.
Right.
But God has knit them together. It's a little mission church compound. There are four buildings, I think, on the property, mm-hmm. surrounded by a full, would you call it a plaster wall?
Yes,
sort of an adobe mm-hmm. wall with razor wire on top. These people who came down to start this little church and were told that they could not possibly do this have done it. While being down there, started to hear the stories about babies that were being abandoned, either in dumpsters or in sewers, at the rate of 30 a month mm-hmm. on average.
And Cheryl said some months it's over 100.
That's right.
Yeah.
But the important thing that they heard was that many of these babies were alive when abandoned.
Yeah.
And they just said, we got to do something. Mm-hmm. So what were they going to do? They can't go door to door and ask, do you have any babies you're going to discard? They can't patrol all the sewers and all the garbage dumpsters. So what they did was cut a hole in this adobe wall, put a door, just a lift up.
Hinged at the top.
Right. Mm-hmm. I don't know any other word to describe it, except it's sort of a mailbox door reversed.
Yeah.
Instead of pulling it down, you would pull it up. On the inside is this beautifully constructed, by their people, a stainless steel bin, which is beautifully padded on the bottom. And a woman can come in total anonymity, because there's no one that can see out from the compound, lift up this door, place a baby in, and the weight of the baby on the padding sets off a sensor underneath that sets off an alarm in the compound, and somebody comes rushing to retrieve this baby.
So the baby is not in that bin for more than about a minute, actually.
In fact, the last baby that was put there was almost mobbed by people rushing to the bin to try to rescue it, because they heard the alarm go off in the compound. It is the most ingenious thing I've ever seen, constructed out of basically nothing, to give life to little children that would otherwise die. There are people who care enough to rescue these little ones who are the rejects of society, because most of them are what they would call colored.
Yeah.
They are not pure black. They are not pure white. They are a mix of all kinds of things. Now, within the babies that have been rescued, we know that one is some brand of Asian and black. Mm-hmm. One is some brand of perhaps Indian, Pakistani, Sri Lankan, mm-hmm. whatever, probably Indian and black. These are the worst of the worst to find a place in society. And yet this combination of multiple ethnicities within Africa have come together to say, we don't care. Let's love them. Let's bring them up in the Lord.
That's right. There is a law in South Africa that if the child is left unattended by its parent for 2 months, then that baby is legally considered to be an abandoned child. And then that sets in motion a whole set of circumstances and gives the baby a status which makes certain things possible. So
right. It's as complicated there as it is here to get the babies free for adoption. But God is doing some beautiful things there.
Now, honey, we're talking about the babies, and we had an opportunity to get especially close to four of these little tykes. And we got really attached to them. In fact, we took them home with us for a weekend. I say home. We took them to Cheryl Allen's home where we were staying. And over that weekend, we were able to provide care for the babies ourselves. And that was because one of the staff members really did need a break from the babies. So we got close to four of these babies. And let me just mention four names to you. And I want you to give a response to each of these names. First of all, Georgina.
Georgina is a kick. Now, first of all, she's an interesting story because she was almost two when she was stuffed into this box that is basically built for a brand new baby. And what we learned about her was that she was so withdrawn, so shy, so nobody could get her to speak, to smile, to do anything for the longest time. Georgina is the little mother of all of the babies now. What would you call
her? She's a mother with her thumb in her mouth, I must say.
She is. With the little grin around the edges of the thumb.
Yeah,
she's
right.
Always, she has this very shy smile, but she looks like she has the weight of the world on 60-year-old shoulders, except that the body is only 2 years old. But she is so protective of the babies, and she is so attached to Cheryl.
Yeah.
And yet at the same time, she calls the family that has given up their home, moved their very few worldly goods into this home. She calls her mama because she hears the boys, Margaret's own boys, call her mama.
Then there's Josh.
Oh, how do you describe Josh?
Eyes.
Oh, he's all eyes and all motion. Now, the interesting thing about Josh is that what they have found out about the mother is that she was a nightclubber.
Yeah.
And Josh was a little older when he was abandoned and evidently had spent most of his nights in the nightclubs with his mother. And I think probably while he was an infant and before he started to crawl and be mobile, it was probably possible for her to keep him with her, and he wasn't any trouble, and he's very open, very willing to go to anybody. So I think he was probably cared for and paid attention to by a lot of people. But his schedule was totally reversed. He was up all night and slept all day, which evidently was the schedule his mom kept.
That's the nightclub scenario.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And music begins and Josh starts to dance. I mean, there is not one part of his body that's not in motion. He loves music.
Yeah.
But he is a climber. He is, I would guess, destined to be some kind of an acrobat. He just is into everything.
Curious as all get
out. Nothing that doesn't attract his attention, that he doesn't want to take apart, get into, mess around with. But, oh, he's all eyes. Just big, alive, energetic eyes.
Piercing.
Yep.
Some of the most amazing people we meet are the ones that need us the most. Norm and Cher have more to tell about the beautiful children being rescued by the Door of Hope Project. But first, here's Jim to tell how you can be part of it today.
You know, friends, there's always more we can do. When you support Compassion Radio this month, you help us rescue more precious little babies through the Door of Hope in Johannesburg, South Africa. For 20 years now, Compassion Radio has helped sponsor abandoned newborns being rescued by the Door of Hope. The need has never been greater, and the original baby house number one desperately needs to be rebuilt. As you partner with Compassion Radio this month, together we'll help the Door of Hope begin this urgently needed project. Your gift of any size would be such a blessing today. We can't succeed without your faithful prayer and financial support. Friend, will you help us make 2017 the best year of outreach in our 73-year history? Please call today with your gifts, encouragements, and prayer requests at 1-800-868-2478. That's toll-free 800-868-2478. 866-268-2478 or make your gift online at CompassionRadio.com. You can also reach us by writing Compassion Radio, Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, that's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Friend, you make the victories possible. We need you. Please contact us today. Let's get back now to the program.
Then there's Nathan, and I say Nathan, and maybe you can hear a special quality in my voice. I got real close to Nathan for some reason when we first arrived there.
Yep.
He was the first baby that I had any contact with, and he was laying in his crib, staring up, not feeling very well, had a very concerned and worried look on his little face, and I bent over that crib, and I stuck my finger down and started to rub his cheek. And he gave me a little smile, and it was all over, honey,
yep.
As far as Nathan and Norm are concerned. But Nathan has problems, and he is the dearest little thing, and yet we're so concerned about him.
We really are. Nathan started out with every strike against him. Nathan was abandoned by the side of the road. They don't know how long he was there, but when they found him, his face was completely blistered.
Yeah.
After he was delivered to the home, his poor little bottom completely peeled three different times. They didn't think they were ever going to get it healed. And the sound of traffic is terrifying to him.
Now, isn't that amazing that Josh, who was abandoned in a nightclub, dances to music, and Nathan, who was abandoned by the side of the road, tenses up and becomes jittery when traffic goes by? That is incredible to me.
Do we call this imprinting?
Yes, we do. I should also say that it's been a long time since Norm has been thrown up on, and even with the grandkids. But Nathan did it to me.
He managed, right.
And I don't care. I love that little guy. I wish I could have him.
Nathan is a snuggle bug. He is just the most loving, gentle-mannered baby. Is not interested in being on his tummy to try to crawl at all. Much more happy to be on his back to be able to watch everything that's going on. But just the most loving little thing. But Nathan has ongoing problems. We don't know exactly what the lung problems are, but he was to be x-rayed the week after we left. We have not heard a report yet, but we did get a report yesterday, which was not encouraging about his health.
Yeah.
God really needs to do a miracle in this little guy's physiological being.
Deeply congested, and he was...
Well, he had pneumonia when we left.
In many respects, miserable that whole weekend, and yet at the same time...
Never cried.
At the same time, he just seemed to be trying to make the best of it and be responsive.
It's almost like, if I'm good, will you love me? Will you hold me?
Yeah. Okay, now, get yourself together, honey. Oh. Then there's Ruthie.
Oh, dear. Ruthie, well, we lost our hearts to all of them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it was about that little girl. We walked in. The first time we saw her, she was asleep in a plastic bath pan that was fully padded because they're out of beds at the home. They desperately need beds. And she was so tiny. She's under 5 pounds. All that was showing was probably from her nose up. Everything else was swaddled. But that little face just entirely wiped me out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we didn't learn a whole lot about her at that time. She was one that was abandoned in the bin. They don't know anything about the family. But when we were able to get the kids ready to take them home, she was crying at the time we went in. And, you know, a crying baby, you go pick a baby up.
Right.
Well, and the first time we had seen her, she was sleeping. So I just went over and picked her up. And the minute I picked her up, she stopped crying and just kind of went limp asleep. Mm. Well, two people rushed over to look at her and scared me to death because what did I do? Evidently, Ruthie has just been a very, very unhappy baby.
Mm-hmm.
She has cried most of the time. We learned that she did not eat, and what she did eat, she didn't keep down. She was not thriving. Everything about Ruthie was tragic. I don't know why, but for the time that we had her, as long as she was in my arms, She slept so soundly.
Totally content.
She ate like a little horse. She burped like a little longshoreman. She kept it down. She didn't spit up once the 4 days that we had her. And by the third day, she was smiling. And then I had the chance to be with all of the kids when they were examined by the doctor. And this is hard. They really believed that Ruthie was older than they were told that she was. The story had been that the mother was expecting and was going to do away with the baby if they didn't agree to take her, and that the day the baby was born, the mother gave them a call and said that she was bringing the baby and Ruthie was put in the bin. I was very skeptical of this after watching her for the 4 days because she was just doing too many things that were older. Either she's an exceptionally alert child or she is older than that. When the doctor went through looking at the kids one by one, she too felt that Ruthie is probably, we thought she was 3 weeks, according to what the mother had said when she abandoned the baby. She's probably 6 or 7 weeks old and still under 5 pounds. Mm-hmm. She was not nourished. She was not cared for. But she's alive, and she is the most intense little baby. She's awake for long periods of time, and she just fixes her eyes on your eyes or on your face, and it's like you want to say, Ruthie, blink. She just is so intent on every expression that goes across her face, and you can be talking to someone else, and you look back at her, and you can literally feel it go through her body. Mm-hmm. She knows you're looking at her, and it's like she's just soaking it in and trying to inhale every little bit of attention that comes her way. And I believe God's got a family for her. I have prayed for that from the moment that I picked her up in my arms, that God would provide her a family because she needs that individual attention so badly.
Well, I think Cher kind of likes that little girl, don't you? And you know, Ruthie's one of many abandoned babies that need the love and care that you and I can help to provide. Now, that's part one of our two-day conversation with Cher about the Door of Hope Project. You'll hear a very emotional part two on tomorrow's program. Don't miss it.
Children are a treasure from the Lord. Those bright and trusty eyes seem to take us by surprise. And they see what others older seem to miss. May the gift of faith they hold grow as they grow old. May they always know God will never let them go. At 6 they're beginning their school days. 16 and they're driving the car, and at 21 we'll let them go on their first day. But of course they'll be at home in bed by 8. Yes, children are a treasure from the Lord.
For almost 2 decades now, real babies are being rescued every week from certain death as their impoverished or drug addicted mothers give up hope. Before Berean Baptist Church stepped in, dozens of newborns were abandoned to the elements each and every month in this African metropolis. Now, Pastor Cheryl Allen and her congregation couldn't let that go on, and their solution has saved over 1,000 souls in 2 decades. In a neighborhood marked by high crime, high fences, and razor wire, here's what they did. They literally cut a hole in the wall of their church compound and installed a double-doored incubator. Newborns can be anonymously deposited inside. A sensor notifies church staff who immediately retrieve the child and provide medical care and nutrition. This creative approach has so greatly moved our Compassion Radio audience that we've built a group home facility for these orphans in a safe neighborhood outside the city center. Compassion Radio partners have sponsored hundreds of these kids over the years. So we ask, would you like to join them? There are more infants this year just waiting for you to act. By God's grace, Berea has never had to turn away a baby. Let's help them make sure that stays true, today and tomorrow. Here's Jim to tell how you can be part of it today.
For 20 years now, Compassion Radio has helped sponsor abandoned newborns being rescued by the Door of Hope. The need has never been greater, and the original baby house number one desperately needs to be rebuilt. As you partner with Compassion Radio this month, together we'll help the Door of Hope begin this urgently needed project. Your gift of any size would be such a blessing today. We can't succeed without your faithful prayer and financial support. Friend, will you help us make 2017 the best year of outreach in our 73-year history? Please call today with your gifts, encouragements, and prayer requests at 1-800-868-2478. That's toll-free, 800-868-2478. Or make your gift online at CompassionRadio.com. You can also reach us by writing Compassion Radio, Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, that's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Friend, you make the victories possible. We need you. Please contact us today.
I'm Bram Floria. Thanks for joining us today. We'll see you tomorrow for part two of this important broadcast.